Oh, man. If my house was on fire and I was driving down the street, the first thing that I would, I'd run in there, I'd make sure my beautiful wife Lisa wasn't in fuego. You know, the kids were okay, the dog was okay. But the first thing that I would grab is this. I got this Bible when I was in high school. And it means a ton. I have a ton of memories attached to this Bible. And I love it. Obviously, it's the Bible, and so I love it. But it's really this little piece of paper that I'd run into that fire and grab. This is the program from the weekend that my dad became a Christian. And it's so valuable to me. This is probably 20-some years ago. It's just a black ink scribbled cross that he did. And then there's a dotted line, and then Robert S. Schwartz. And the reason my dad did this, he told me, is that he wanted me to have assurance that when he said, you know, I'm probably going to die before you are. He said, I just want you to, when you're standing there looking at my casket, I want you to have assurance that I understand the message of God. Like, I get it. And I want you to have assurance that my eternity is set. And I want you to feel that. Today, we're talking about how clear the message of God is. You know, this whole series, we've been talking about how complicated relationships are. You know, there's snags, and there's obstacles, and there's off-roads and in-roads to relationships. You got to navigate clearly. We've had lots of great truth from the Bible about how to navigate relationships. Well, today we're talking about something that's not complicated at all, and it's not complex at all. The message of God is so simple that it's truth on the bottom shelf, like even a little kid can understand it. So what we're going to be doing today is, if you're not a Christ follower yet, you know, welcome. You know, Verve was designed for you, with you in mind. If you're not yet a Christ follower, today you're going to have a chance to understand the message of God in a really clear way. It'll be so clear that it'll be possible for you to actually, like, maybe take a step across the line of faith or take a step of seriousness in your faith. If you are a Christ follower, Verve was designed with you in mind too. And so the idea today, if you're a Christ follower, you're going to have an opportunity to hear the message of God, and I want you to be thinking like in a dual way. I want you to be thinking about the message of God, but I want you to be thinking, how would you communicate it? What would be the tactics that you would take to communicate your faith to God, to someone in your life that you love? Maybe it's your dad or your mom or a family member, could be a neighbor, could be a friend from work, could be somebody you go to school with. How would you communicate who God is, the most important message? You know, a lot of times Christ followers, we sort of shy away from communicating what our faith is all about. I'm going to push you a little bit to communicate it. So let me explain it to you in a verse. This verse is Romans 6:23. And in this verse, not a lot of words, is the message of God. It's the message of God to us. So if I was communicating this to a friend of mine, I've got this committed to memory. I'd write it down on a piece of paper or on a napkin if we were at a restaurant or something like that. And I'd have a pen and I would say, okay, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the gift of God, is eternal life because of Christ Jesus our Lord. I'd write that on a little napkin. And then I'd say, okay, I'm going to explain this to you. And then I'd underline the word wages, and I'd underline the word sin. You know, I'd just sort of, on the napkin, I'd circle it, I'd underline it, and I would explain to my friend. I would say, so what are wages? If I worked for you, you would give me wages in return for the work that I did. There would be, there would be that kind of a relationship, you know. You'd give me something for something that I've done for you. Wages are something that you deserve for something that you've done. Well, sin is, the definition of sin is when you miss the mark. It's when you fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. And then I'd look at my friend and I would say, you've lied. You know, you've cheated, so have I. And my friend would nod, you know, say, fall short of the glory of God. So the wages, what we deserve because of our sin, is death. And then I'd underline the word death. And I would say, okay, so what's death in this verse? Well, it's separation of life. It's a termination of a relationship. In this verse, death is a separation from God. So what we deserve, what the wages, because of our sin, is death. And then I would look at my friend, I'd make a joke about this. I would say, but, you know, and I would look at my friend, I've said this 100 times. I would say, that's a good but right there, man. You know, and he'd laugh. That's funny, right? That is a very big but right there. And then I would do Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like big butts. I cannot lie. 1992, Google it. So the gift, the free gift of God, what's a gift? Well, a gift is when someone gives you something. It's not like wages. A gift is when someone gives you something that they're not expecting anything in return. They're just giving it to you because they love you. Well, the gift of God is eternal life. And then I'd highlight eternal life. I'd circle eternal life with my pen. I'd say, okay, John, you know, what is eternal life? Well, eternal life is what you get when you go to heaven. It's life without end. It's not like death. It's not separation. It's not termination. It's life with God without end. It's in the presence of God. And then I would just look at him and I would say, so how is this possible? How does this all work? You know, and then I'd underline, because of Christ Jesus, that's how this works. I'd underline that last phrase. It's all possible because of the work that Jesus has done. He's taken the punishment. He's taken our sin, which we all have, and he's paid for it. He's sacrificed with his life on the cross. That's how this works. And that's the message of God. It's an awesome message. He took away our sin, made it possible for God to offer us eternal life. That's what it's all about. And there's no strings. This isn't just somebody telling you this, but this is what the Bible says about the message of God. And all you've got to do is accept this amazing gift of love for you. Now, I know at this point, some of you are thinking, well, you know, it's easy for you. Like, you know, you've practiced it, or you're a pastor, or you're whatever. No. Imagine yourself having this conversation with somebody. It's such an awesome conversation to have. And then I would look at the person and I would say, so all you have to do is you just got to say yes. You got to say yes to this invitation. And then I'd bring up Mark chapter 16, verse 16. You know, if I had a Bible, maybe I'd open it up to this verse, but I would say, to say yes, you've got to believe and you've got to be baptized. And then I would walk into it and I would say to my friends, so here's what it means to believe. You've got to believe. You've got to receive that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You got to believe that Jesus lived a sinless life, a spotless life. He died on the cross to sacrifice in a way to take away your sin and the sin of the world. And you trust Jesus to be the leader of your life. So you believe and you receive. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, we don't have that on the screen, but that's what this is. You believe and you receive. And then the Bible says, get baptized. This is an awesome part of the story. Now, to be freed up from your sin, that's all about Jesus. You don't have to get baptized to get to heaven. But baptism is an outward expression of this inward change. And Jesus himself said that he wants us to, he commands us to get baptized, as it's like a step of obedience. And next weekend, we're having a baptism service here at the church. So if you've ever thought of getting baptized, you should really walk into those waters. Now, it'll be right over here. There's like going to be a little bit of little pool over here. And it's not like the water cleanses you from your sin. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the reason to get baptized is that it unites us. We identify with Christ. Do you get that? We identify with Christ in the waters of baptism. The book of Romans says that when you go under the water, it symbolizes you identifying with the death of Christ. And when you come up out of the water, it symbolizes your identification with the resurrection of Jesus. That's what baptism is. And so if you've never been baptized, I mean, some of you are brand new. You're like, dude, I can't even spell God yet. You know, that's okay. But some of you who are Christ followers, you should think about, you should get baptized. It's a command that Jesus gave us, a step of obedience. Again, an outward expression of an inward shift, an inward change. And it's something that we say yes to as Christ followers. And I think a lot of you are ready to say yes. Now you should take that step. All you do is you go back to the Velcro bar, you know, after church today, you sign up. That doesn't mean you're going to get baptized. It just means you want more information. And then one of us will give you a call, probably tomorrow or Tuesday, and it's probably going to be me. So get ready for that. And some of you will be like, yeah, I got a couple questions, and we'll have a good conversation. You know, some of you will be like, I don't have any questions. I'm ready, you know. Next week, 10:30, I'm going to get baptized. You invite your friends, you invite your family. A bunch of us will be taking pictures. That's a picture. That's a picture I have in my mind that I still think about. You know, when I sin or I do, you know, the sin in my life, there's not a lot of new sin. It's the same old sins, like pride, those kinds of things. And there are times when I close my eyes and I remember that I was baptized. I remember my baptism. And I just confess, you know, and say, God, keep changing me from the inside out. If you're a Christ follower and you've never been baptized, say yes to that. But that's something that a person says, okay, I'm going to take this step of faith. You know, I'm going to pray a prayer that starts this journey once they understand the good news of God, Romans 6:23. And then they believe, and then they're baptized. So that's how it works. What you do is you sign on the line. You just say in a really cool way that I'm beginning my relationship with God, and I am going to sign. This is like my dad did. I'm going to sign on the line. Now, for some of us, the whole commitment thing freaks us out. Because I know a lot of you, I thought the same thing. You think to yourself, has there been a commitment in my life that I've done well with? And some of us don't have a really great track record, so you're afraid. You're like, I don't want to make a commitment to God and then break it. Here's what I would say to you. Listen. You're overthinking it. Take this step, because when you sign on the dotted line, what it means is that you're saying, God, I know who I am, and I know who you are. I want you in the center of my life, because then God will give you the strength and the power to make this commitment and make it true, make it real for you. Like, he's the one who will follow through. It's his strength, not ours. So if you're ready, a little bit later, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. For some of you, you know, you're not yet a Christ follower. You've not ever stepped across the line of faith. Today, you're going to understand the message. Will you be ready to say yes? You know, and again, there's no pressure. But some of you, I know, are ready. So that's the message. And it's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? It's not super complicated. I just told you in one verse what the message of God is. When a person becomes a Christ follower, what happens in their life is they get a mission. You know, you're given this mission by God, and it has to do with your spiritual gifts. It has to do with how you were wired up, and in and through whatever you do in your life, you want to honor God. One part of the mission is that you want to bring as many people with you as possible to heaven. You want as many people as possible that you know, family members, friends, neighbors, people you go to school with, coworkers, whatever, to live their best life here on earth, and then to have God in eternity. But the complication, there is a complication, and that is that as Christ followers, we get scared. You get scared to talk about God to your friends. And there's really two reasons for that. First reason is fear. You know, you're just like, I don't know, man. I don't want to be a hypocrite. These people, especially family members, they know me. They know what kind of a mess up I am. It'd be better to just keep my personal faith, my personal faith. So we get scared. You know, we don't want to step out. It's really hard. The second reason kind of goes along with this, and it's just fear. It's intimidation. It kind of goes with fear. And intimidation is simply like, do I know what to say? Am I going to know what to say? Do I know the right stuff to say? Now, I know this picture is hard for you to look at. And you're wondering, where did he get that? If you go to Vince's house, they're everywhere. It's really kind of weird. But a lot of us, the excuse that we have, some of you are brand new and you're like, who is that dude? This is our senior pastor. His name's Vince. A lot of times Christians will say, you know, I'm just going to leave it to the professionals. I'm going to leave it to the pastor, you know, and maybe sometime I'll bring my coworker to church and, you know, then Vince will have a chance. He'll have a shot at him. No. Vince is good, but he's not as good as you. Your friends trust you. Your family members want to know about what you think, about what you believe, about what makes you tick. And if you don't have anything to say, if it's not that important to you, I know it is, but fear and intimidation, oh man, they just make us into, we just become wusses all of a sudden. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up. One time, this is just last fall, I was at my son's football game, and I saw an old friend. This guy, I've known this guy's name's Donnie. I call him Donnie. I've known him for like 5 or 6 years. His son played with my older son at this same high school. And I saw this dude, and I was like, what are you doing here? He doesn't have a kid that's still playing. He goes, oh, man, I miss football. I was hoping I'd see you, you know? So I love this guy. Super fun to be around. So we stand on the sideline together, and we're just talking, you know, whatever, just having fun. Football game's over, and we get 20 steps, no kidding, outside of the gate. It's dark out. The lights of the football field are the only lights that are really there. There's people that are walking past us to get to their cars. And Donnie says to me, he says, you know, the thing I like about you is you're not religious. And he knows I'm a pastor. He goes, tell me what you believe. Right there. Now, you talk about high drama. That is a big matzo ball hanging in the air, friends. What do you believe? Now, I got 3 seconds, 4, maybe 5 seconds before it gets awkward. If there's ever a time when I want to have some content to say, what am I going to say? What would you say? Would you have anything to say? You can't change the subject. It's too big of a question. You can't go, oh, you got to come to church. You got to hear, this guy Vince, he knows what's up. My friend doesn't want to hear about Vince. He wants to hear about what I think. He wants to know what I have to say. So I look back at this guy and I said, man, it's so awesome that you don't think I'm religious. I mean, I'm so grateful that you don't think that I'm religious. You know, because I'm a Christian. And I said, you want to know the difference? Religion is spelled D-O. And then like with my hand, I just spelled D-O. I look back at this guy. I said, religion's all about a treadmill where you do a bunch of stuff to earn favor with God. And the Bible says that that's not how it works. In fact, the Bible says you can't earn God's favor. I mean, what would be enough? I said, Christianity's different. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. Man, it's done. It's all about Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. When you tap into that power to forgive us of our sin because of his death on the cross, that sacrifice, and then the power of resurrection, bro, you're going to live your best life when you get close to Jesus that way. And then there's heaven. So, does that answer your question? It took me a minute, you guys. And he was lasered in. There's cars going by, people walking by. He was lasered in. And he looked back at me and he said, yeah, that was good, thanks. That was helpful. I think he might have hit me on the shoulder or something like that. He said, you know, we said goodbye. he walked to his car, and I walked home. And both of us thought the same thing. We thought, man, that was awesome. I am so glad I had that conversation. A couple months after this, my oldest boy had a Bible study at our house for some of his old high school friends. Who does that? And the doorbell rang, a couple of them were already there, and I go to the door, and Don, my friend Donnie, Don, his son, is there, and I love this kid, he's real quiet. And I go, Don, you know, and I gave him a big hug, and I said, you know, I saw your dad at the football game, a couple football games this season, I think the world of your dad. And his son made eye contact with me, he looked at me, and he said, oh, Mr. Schwartz, my dad thinks the world of you. And then he walked, you know, kind of skipped in with his college buddies. And I stood in the doorway and I just thought, oh God, it would be so great if I could have another conversation like that with his dad. And I just prayed, you know, it's all part of the adventure. If you're a Christ follower, don't you want to step into that? Like wind in your hair, adventure. Out on the high seas, man, high drama. So Romans 6:23 is a great way. Do versus done is another great way. And then another great way, one of my favorites, is to just tell your story. People, your people, people in your life, people you go to school with, people you hang out with, neighborhood people, people from work, your family members. So I start my story. I got three parts to my story. The first part to my story is how I was brought up. I say, yeah, I was brought up Catholic, man. I kind of laugh. I was an altar boy, you know, and I make fun of that and it's kind of goofy. And I tell people, you know, if this is not Catholic and this is Catholic, I'm like in the back lot. That's how Catholic we were. And then I'm really quick to say I'm so grateful for my parents and my heritage because I was spiritually sensitive. Second part of my story is I tell them how I became a Christian. I talk about this youth ministry I was a part of when I was in high school, changed my life. I never knew what it meant to become a Christian. I thought we were Christians. You know, you're a Republican, you're a Christian. You're, you know, whatever, you know, I didn't know. And I tell them about how I became a Christian. Some of you are all freaked out about that Republican comment. Just let it go. Let it go. Come back. Wasn't on my notes. The third part of my story, I'll just tell people, hey man, since I've become a Christian, here's what my life is like, you know, and I tell them about, I'm really, really looking forward to heaven, and because I have the confidence of heaven, it changes the way I live my life on earth. Like, I'm out there, man, I'm having fun, because I know that heaven is what's waiting for me. That is an awesome thing, you know? Now, a lot of us don't have a great story. Like, my story's not super dramatic, you know? Like, but some of you, you have a great story. You should tell your story more. You should get good at telling your story because your friends, your family, they want to hear about it. In 3 weeks, this guy named Michael Franzese is coming to our church. This guy has a story. If you've been here, you've been hearing about this dude. He's this mafia boss, this capo of the Colombo family in New York City. Not anymore. You know, but at the height of his time in the Colombo, he's number three in the Colombo family. Think of that. At the height of his tenure in the Colombo family, he generated, the stuff that he oversaw, generated between $5 and $8 million in legal and illegal business. Crazy. He gets sent to jail. He's in solitary confinement. They give him a Bible. That's how he became a Christian. That's how not complex and complicated the Christian faith is. So he becomes a Christ follower. He becomes the first mafia capo ever to walk away from the family. Now, other people have had witness protection. They're hiding. Other people have been killed. Well, he's the first one to keep his name, and he's alive today. He'll be on this stage in 3 weeks. You talk about a story. Listen, people love a story. When I was telling you about Donnie, you were like, oh, tell me more about this guy. If I told you my story, if you told your story to your family members, talk to me about that. Well, you could invite some people to this, and they could be a part of hearing this guy's story. As you leave, there's going to be people that are going to give you a bunch of invite cards. Some of you shouldn't take two or three. You should take like 15. and just keep them in your car. Because you're a freak. You talk to every waiter or waitress. You talk to everybody. You should use your personality in that way. And some of you, your family members, your friends, people you go to school with, you could fill a row of your friends. One of the best things, one of the things I love most about the weekends is I get to stand out front and I can tell when somebody brought somebody for the first time. I can tell, especially when the person hasn't shown up yet, because that person's standing there and they're nervous, kind of walking around, looking at their watch. They're totally, look, in 3 weeks, be nervous, man. Sit with your friends and just go, oh, I hope this isn't bad. I hope Dave does good on stage. If he's leading worship, I hope nobody trips. You know, I hope this Franzese guy. Why? Because you're living out the adventure of an uncomplicated Christian life. So Romans 6:23, do versus done, your story. And then this is my favorite one. This one I've done a lot. You know, I was thinking, like, what if I put a number on it? Would I say 100 times? It's called the bridge. And if you as a Christ follower could draw this out, if you could listen with that kind of intent so you could draw this out, I'm telling you, it will serve you really, really well. Now, before I tell this story, I say a sentence. You know, I say this sentence 10, 15 times a month. I'll look at somebody and I'll say, hey, if you ever want to know what I believe, if you ever want to know like my faith is all about, just, I'd love to tell you. Just ask me. If you learn how to say, oh, throw that up there, JD. Is it there? Did you lose it? Is she back there? There we go. If you ever want to know what I believe, I'd love to tell you. This is a sentence that'll serve you really, really well. Because most of the time, your friends will look back at you and they're going to say, yeah, I got a minute. You know? Or they're going to say, maybe I'll take you up on that. Somebody at work. Yeah, maybe I'll take you up on that. You're not cheesy. You just say it like a normal person. You know? But if you say that sentence, it sometimes will lead to one of these ways. And this one's called the bridge. Now, here's how this works. You say to a person, now you're in a restaurant, right? I've done this on restaurant napkins. I've done this like on an airplane, you know, where you have your drink and you use that napkin. I've done this on chalkboards, on whiteboards, on paperboards. I've done this on the beach twice. How cool is that? I just drew this with my feet, you know, on the beach, sand volleyball court at camp. I've done this on the hood of a dirty car, you know. One time there was this truck, a white truck had a dirty, the back side of it, and I did this on the back of a truck, you know. This is something, if you have this in your brain, now if you're not yet a Christ follower, this will help you understand. The Bible says that God wants to have a relationship with us, but there is a separation. There's a separation between us and God. And the separation is sin. And then I'll tell them, Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned. You know, all of us. So that means you, that means me. And you've lied, you've cheated, you know. People will nod, yeah, I've had my share of that. Well, because of this rebellion that started way back in the Garden of Eden with a bite of an apple, this sin is out of control. And it's made us not be able to have the relationship that God wants us to have and that we want to have with God. People have tried to get a running start and they can't make it because this distance is too big. The distance of their sin, they just can't overcome it. And that's what leads to death. And then I'll explain Romans 6:23 to them. Remember this verse? The gift of God is eternal life because of Christ Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. He's the reason. He's the one who blots out sin. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, blots out sin to the point where God doesn't even recognize it anymore. God doesn't even remember your sin. As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. And your friend will be nodding. They'll be like, yeah, they'll be right with you. Now, somebody entrepreneurial will try to, they'll try to charter a helicopter to get across. No, there's no way. The only bridge is the cross and the work of Jesus Christ. That's how we become rightly related to God. That's how we get to God. And then I'll just draw the dotted line. And sometimes I'll push the napkin. Again, I'm not in anybody's face. Just in a loving way, I'll push the napkin towards the person. I'll say, where are you at on this picture? Sometimes I'll give them the pen. And, you know, I've had guys say, well, you know, I'm kind of probably right here. You know, I had one guy say, dude, I'm dead. You know who I am. I'm like a mess, you know? And they understand it. They get it. But they got to come across the bridge. And the only way across the bridge is Jesus Christ. And then I'll draw this dotted line. And I'll explain to them that it's all about owning your faith. And I'll say, if you're ready, when you sign on the dotted line, that's how you say yes to God. And then I'll just look at my friend and I'll say, hey, are you ready? Like, do you want to become a Christ follower? And a lot of times people will say, yeah, I'd like to do that. How does it work? They'll say. Sometimes, I should say a lot of times also, people will say, well, I don't know, I'm not ready right now, or they'll have a question or two. But I'll be sitting with a friend, and they'll say, yeah, I'm ready. And I'll say, okay, it starts with a prayer. It doesn't end with this prayer. It starts with this opportunity where you say to God, God, I want you in the center of my life, and I want you to be my forgiver. I need you to forgive me of my sin, and that's what the cross is about. I want you to be my leader. Like, help me navigate. Help me. I want to follow you. And then I want you to be my friend. I want a friendship with you that has eternal life attached to it, but also my best life here on earth. And then I'll look at my friend and say, you want to pray that prayer? When you pray that prayer, it's not like you pray it out loud. I'll just lead you in this prayer, and you just pray silently after me. You pray these words to God with a sincere heart. So I'm going to lead you guys in this prayer. And if you're at a spot in your life where you've never done this before, you should do it. If you feel like you're ready to say yes, now, you know, no pressure. But if you're ready, pray this prayer with me. Let's bow our heads together. Just say, Father, I believe in you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and I need you to be my forgiver. Tell God that. Say, God, I want you to be my leader. I want you to be the roadmap that I follow. And I want you in my life. I want your leadership in my life. Tell God that. And then say, God, your friendship, oh man, I want you to be in the center of my life. I want to go to heaven with you, but I want to live my best life here on earth with you at the center. Tell God that right now. And just say, Father, I love you, and as best I can, I want to follow you. Tell him that. Now, if you prayed that prayer with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you got to know that the Bible says that when one person turns from their sin and enters into a relationship with God, that all of heaven erupts in a celebration. And that's what's happening on that spiritual plane. For you. So just between you and God, everybody's heads bowed, and so I'm going to ask you to, I want you to slip your hand in the air, just kind of make a stand, and maybe make eye contact with me, and say, yeah, today I prayed that prayer. Today's your day, if that's you. Keep your hand in the air. That's awesome. Good. Good. Great. You can put your hands down. Father, thanks for people making moves like in their faith, making moves to take steps of seriousness towards you and have a relationship with you. God, we're grateful for that. Thank you for them. Thank you for their courage. And right now, as you're being formed inside of them, and the Holy Spirit is being set up inside of their lives, we just celebrate them and this big move that they've made. We're grateful for that. In your son's precious name, amen. Man, way to go if you prayed that prayer. You did good. Took a step that's hard to take for some people. For some of you, it was like, no, dude, I want to do it. I'm ready. You know, way to go. That's a big, it's courageous. And for some of the rest of you, maybe you're just not ready to say yes yet. Here's what I would ask you. What's holding you back? What's holding you? And try to get that doubt resolved. Try to get that one thing. Maybe it's about Jesus. Maybe it's about, you've asked the question. If you're a new Christian, you should come to Next Step for sure. If you're somebody who just raised their hand, if you're somebody who's already a Christ follower, but you know you need to grow, you're just sort of stagnant, you should come to Next Step. If you've got doubts, for sure, come to Next Step. It happens at noon today, or next week. It's happening at 10:30 and at noon. And it's right outside that door. Now listen, it's 5 steps away. Once you exit that door, it's 5 steps. And I know how long those 5 steps are. It is hard, man, to come from sitting in here where it's non-aggressively aggressive to walking into a room and you're shaking people's hands and you're like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But trust me, you'll be glad you did. I'm in there. There's a whole bunch of us that are on the team that lead Next Step. You should come and check it out. Again, next week, 10:30 and noon, or you can go today at noon and find out more about what it means to discover God in your life. And if you want to get baptized, get signed up. For some of you, man, that is a big step of obedience. For those of you that became Christ followers, you should do it. You should do it. For some of the rest of you who've never been baptized, this might be your step. Again, just go talk to them at the Velcro bar, and I'll be in touch with you later this week. So that's it. It's complicated. The series is over. You know, remember today that the message of Christ is truth on the bottom shelf. It's easy to understand. But fear will mess with you when you go to communicate. And intimidation will mess with you when you go to communicate. But that's why I want to pray this dangerous prayer. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And basically the prayer is this. If you're going to wuss out, don't pray it. Because God has a way of answering these prayers. The dangerous prayer is this. In the next 7 days, God, I'm going to be on high alert. And if you want to bring somebody my way, or if you've already been talking to me about who you want me to talk to about their faith, about your faith, then I'm going to do it. Might be an invitation to Francis, you know? But let's pray that dangerous prayer and we'll be done. God, thanks for today. Thanks for this whole series. And in ways that only you can, just set your Holy Spirit loose in all of us. You know, some of us who don't know you yet, some of us who are brand new, man, March 3rd, today is your day that those folks stepped across the line. And for some of us who are already Christ followers, you know, help us to make a difference with our lives, all of us. And God, in a dangerous way, some of us pray that we will be on high alert this week for the next 7 days. And if you want to bring somebody our way that we can talk to about you, do it. And we'll do the best we can with that high drama situation. But give us courage to take that step. Thanks again for all that you do for us, and we're grateful for this chance. It's in your son's precious name. For his sake we pray. Amen.